Everything's good. Welcome to Wrexham, is a documentary currently airing on FX that documents the takeover from Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney of Wrexham AFC, which is a team trying to get into the English Football League out of Wales. So today I'm joined by Humphrey Kerr, who is the executive director at Wrexham AFC, but he doesn't necessarily have a background in the beautiful game. So Humphrey, my first question for you is, how do you go from being someone that started in comedy, radio shows, stand-up, things like that, to now being the executive director of a team, like I said, trying to get into the top four divisions in the United Kingdom, or I should say in England and Wales?
If anyone wants to sort of try and follow this course that I've taken, then my advice is, you get a job as a TV writer on an Apple TV show. My one was Mythic Quest, but I'm sure any Apple TV show would work. And slowly but surely bombard the showrunner and creator of that show, Rob McElhenney, with low-level amounts of kind of pro-football agenda or pro-soccer agenda, watching games during my lunch break, playing soccer as I do out here. So every Friday night, I would sort of go into my office and then come out transformed into a fat middle-aged man in various bits of Liverpool kit to go play with my friends. And, he was always kind of lightly interested. And then what you need is a global pandemic so that your showrunner boss is bouncing off the walls of his house and looking for somewhere else to put his energy into. And I then got him to watch the documentary Sunderland Till I Die. And that kind of was a vital breakthrough because it gave him a very quick crash course in the culture of particularly English football fandom. And what it means to the fans and how it differs strangely, from a lot of American fandom, which is glorious and wonderful in its own ways for traditional American sports, I should say, rather than for soccer. Football fans, baseball fans, basketball fans each have their own wonderful, unique culture. But you often find that people are all three. They are a huge, Bears fan, and then they are also a Bulls fan, and they're also a Cubs fan, and they kind of split their love three ways in many ways. And in English football, it tends to be football is the sport. Like, that is the one that everyone really cares about. They have a passing interest in cricket or rugby or baseball or American football or whatever it may be. But soccer football is their game. And Rob was enamored. He saw the point of it. And he, being a maniac, rather than saying, "All right, I should support a team," he was like, I want to buy a team. And so I was charged with finding one. And Wrexham was the team that we came up with.
Yeah, I actually have Sunderland Till I Die here in my notes. That's kind of funny that you use that as inspiration to get involved with Wrexham, but you just mentioned it. Rob kind of said, I want to be involved with the game, maybe buy a team. And I'm curious, because the documentary is such an integral part of Wrexham and the takeover, what came first? The desire for Ryan and Rob to buy Wrexham, or was the documentary more of the driving force behind the takeover for Wrexham?
It was team first. Like, it was very much, we want to, this looks so exciting. What a thing to be part of. And I think when Rob discovered, what kind of levels of investment were required at the National League level, he suddenly was like, oh, I could do this. And this is actually feasible. And he then went, not long thereafter, after we had decided this is the thing we wanted to do, he was like, well, this already on its surface is a crazy story, and perhaps we could try and do a reverse Sunderland Till I Die and start with a team that's low and go high rather than a team that is dropping down the leagues. I mean, fortunately for Sunderland, they're now heading back up the leagues, which is great and good for their fans, and I hope they'll do another series where we get to see them actually enjoy themselves for once, with all the love in the world. But yeah, Rob's feeling was like, oh, we can do a kind of a positive upward trajectory version of this. And so he went and talked to the folks at FX who've done his show It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia for 17 years or whatever it is, and said, hey, I've got this idea. And Ryan came about actually after that process, because he was initially contacted by Rob as a potential sponsor of the club. He's got lots of businesses, and Rob had kind of talked to him. They were Instagram friends, but I don't think they'd ever met in real life. In fact, I know they hadn't met in real life, and you see their actual meeting on the documentary. And send him a message saying, hey, do you want to, would Aviation Gin or Mint Mobile or something like that be interested in being a front of shirt sponsor? And, you know, he sent that message kind of quite late at night, as one often does when you're sliding into the DMs of a celebrity. woke up the next morning to a message from Ryan Back being like, hey, here's my phone number. Call me. I don't want to sponsor the team. I want to do it with you if you're interested. So, this is a very long-winded answer to your question about Something Inside Die and what came first. But yes, it was team first and then documentary and then Ryan Reynolds, the traditional.
So how did they settle on Wrexham? Was it just the opportunity was there? Was it maybe cost of entry for teams above that was a little too high? Or was the fit just perfect? Because I know Rob talked about how it reminded him a lot of his hometown, Philadelphia. So was it more of the culture? Was it just that was a team that screamed, hey, we're ready to be bought? How about you do it?
So my big sort of role at the start of this was Rob saying, okay, which team should we buy? Which I had no idea. I was a Premier League fan. And I would say, as with many Premier League football fans, my knowledge of Premier League was very good and Championship was okay. And then League One was not great and League Two was terrible. And then everything below that, I had no idea, really. So I made a matrix, very unsophisticated little document that was basically, I think we had about 8 teams that I had investigated with any degree of seriousness. And there were different categories, which they were scored out of 10. So fandom was one, geographical placement was one. You know, we knew that if we were getting a team that was in the outskirts of Manchester, you were going to be competing with so many other big popular populous clubs nearby. So we wanted someone that was a little bit further away from any of those kind of big powerhouses. And all sorts of things. And Wrexham basically came top of that score. They got 38 out of 50. The thing they scored badly on was facilities, which they got a very, very low score on because the racecourse ground is amazing, but we didn't own it. And we didn't have our own training ground and all sorts of things like that. So they scored very highly. And I then kind of passed that information on to Rob and Ryan, because Ryan could kind of boarded the project by that stage. And they both very quickly were kind of enchanted by Wrexham. You know, I think it was, as you say, Rob truly, you know, very early on was like, this is wild, because I'm just looking at pictures of this on Google Images and it just looks strangely familiar to me. And there is a big kind of Welsh connection to Philadelphia. You know, there's Bryn Mawr College and stuff there. It has a traditional Welsh heritage. And it just very quickly, all these things fell into place. The fact that it was fan-owned, the fact that the fans didn't want, all they wanted was for the club to invest, for the new owners to invest into the club rather than to pay them a bunch of money to give up the club. You know, some of the other ones we looked at were in private ownership. So it would be a case of saying, right, we've got to pay this person X million pounds and then we get to start the project. Well, the £2 million that the Wrexham Supporters Trust asked us for was immediately spent on the team by us. So it was all these things combined. It just was perfect. It was a match made in heaven.
How much do you have a role, do you think, the idea of promotion and relegation had in Rob and Ryan's takeover of Wrexham? Because it's something that's not familiar to a lot of American sports fans. And I mean, they're new soccer fans, and I'm sure that the whole concept is kind of outlandish to them. The fact that even if you're successful in a season, you might not get promoted. So how much of an impact do you think that had in their takeover? And kind of a follow-up to that is, without promotion and relegation, do you think a program like Welcome to Wrexham would have ever been produced and put together?
So it's a huge part of the reason why they got interested. There's no question, because it's the prospect that you could take a fifth tier club and make it a first tier club, or vice versa. But we are aiming to do the former. Was everything. I mean, that you know, lots of people tweeted us over the course of the last 2 years, or tweeted Rob and Ryan, being like, why on earth haven't you bought the Whitecaps, or like, couldn't you have done this with a, you know, with a USL team or whatever it may be, in the US? And truth be told, I mean, the whole draw of this, in a way, was that idea of visibly upgrading a sports program and a team and a town alongside that, because, you know, having a Premier League team in your town is worth, you know, millions and millions of pounds to the local economy a year, in terms of kind of foot traffic and tourism and whatever it may be, and just, you know, construction work. I mean, the money that we have put into local businesses has been terrific. It's been such an exciting part of this, is that we are, you know, wherever possible, we've tried to do all our, make as much of our construction work and stuff done with local businesses and local architects and local whatever it may be. So, you know, promotion relegation, I know, is not a big thing in American sport. And I do think, I am a big US sports fan. I love it. I think it is, it's a shame. It's a shame that you can't, you know, because ultimately, the very simplest way of putting it is, it stops people tanking their season for draft picks, because you can't afford to. You tank your season, you'll drop out of the league and you'll go down, be less money, less crowd. Like, it's just a problem. So it means that every game matters. Everybody is fighting for everything. And being part of a relegation battle is, in many respects, as exciting, albeit not as fun, as being part of a promotion drive. You know, it's it matters.
Humphrey, just, I'm curious what your responsibilities are with Wrexham AFC. It's one thing to say I'm the executive director, but for someone looking in from the outside, can you just kind of talk about what you do with the club and what you have been able to do at Wrexham over the last couple of years?
Yeah, so I sit on the board with Rob and Ryan, and my job is to kind of liaise between them and the football club. So often what that means is that my job is to sort of translate Hollywood into football and football into Hollywood. So there are things that Rob and Ryan want to achieve, and they charge me with those things. And I then kind of oversee the implementation of those things on the part of Fleur Robinson, our CEO, or Sean Harvey, our strategic advisor to the board. And similarly, you know, there are things that come up from the football club where they're like, can we do this? Can we do that? We would like this. We would like that. And my job is to field those. And, you know, where possible, I am able to kind of furnish people that are like, yes, let's do that. Like, I approve this. I approve that. Don't worry about it. Let's do it. And then certain things go above my pay grade and they go up to Rob and Ryan. And it's a case of saying, what do you want? And, you know, in some respects, I'm like their sort of, yes, their representative on the ground. I mean, I split my time between LA and Wrexham, but I probably spend about 6 months of the year in Wrexham and 6 months of the year here. And whilst there, you know, I'm their sort of man on the ground. So I will be, you know, a conduit even for, you know, the local council or Welsh government or whoever it may be to come to me if they want stuff from Rob and Ryan, or if they're offering things to us. And so, yeah, it's kind of at the start, it was a very hands-on role because we had such a small number of staff that I sort of was doing all sorts of things around ticketing and, you know, concourses and goodness knows what. But as time has gone on, as we've added more people to the team, you know, it has become a more of a sort of oversight role, really. I mean, one of the biggest things I can do is that I legally can commit the club to things. So, you know, if things need signing on behalf of the football club, if we come to agreements or arrangements, it's usually me that signs it. You know, whether it's a transfer or you know, piece of sponsorship or whatever it may be.
Humphrey, one thing that you just said that I found interesting was that you translate Hollywood into football and vice versa. For me, looking in, because I followed soccer my entire life, but for someone else that's new to the sport and they're using Welcome to Wrexham as a chance to learn about the game, especially the lower parts of the pyramid, how important do you think the show is to spread the knowledge of the game, especially the ins and outs that aren't just you win, you get points, you lose, you don't get points, but more things like promotion or the challenge of these professional players that aren't making millions and millions of dollars a year? How important is the show to just kind of tell the entire story of English soccer?
Well, I've been really excited by how well the show has gone down. It's designed to be quite non-expert facing. Shall I say that? I mean, I'm sure, I don't know whether you watched the first few episodes, but there's probably lots of bits in there where you, as someone who follows soccer, is like, yes, right. Yeah, we know you get promoted, you get relegated, however it may be. But I've been so excited by like just the sheer volume of people on Twitter or on you know, coming onto our YouTube channel, onto our highlights and things, being like, oh, I've never really been into soccer, but I'm starting to sort of see the point of it. And that's something that I'm really glad about. It in the same way that, you know, Sunderland Till I Die acted as a kind of red pill, but that's terrible, terrible connotations, but it acted as a kind of Rosetta Stone, let's put it that way, for Rob to understand the culture of football. And I think with Welcome to Wrexham is even more of a primer, of a kind of introductory, hey. And I think as the course of the season goes on, I mean, I was just watching the I've just been sent a cut of the final episode of the season to look through, because another one of my jobs is to go, oh, you've got this person's name wrong, or like make sure you understand this context of this. Or actually a lot of it is these subtitles are wrong. you don't understand this person's accent. I will correct that. And you know, by as the season goes on, it becomes more just like, okay, you understand, you're up to speed now. This is you. It gets deeper into the kind of culture of football and the town and the people, and you know, that's something that I'm excited about. I'm excited about a second season where it is more depth. More people know who these characters are. They understand what the world is, and we can just kind of dig in an even deeper way.
On the topic of culture, you said you spend about 6 months or so a year in Wrexham. As an Englishman, are there any culture shocks that you had? I mean, for us, it's like, oh, it's a small distance going from England to Wales. But were there any culture shocks that you had living and working in Wrexham with the club?
Well, the UK as a whole is extraordinarily sort of culturally, it's a patchwork of different places. And I mean, really 40 miles drive in the UK is enough to be in a completely different accent and dialect and this, that, and the other. And that's the same across England, Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland. And I think it applies to Ireland as well, but they're obviously not part of the UK. I loved it. I was made to feel very welcome from the jump. I mean, there is traditionally antipathy between Welsh, the Welsh people and England. The Welsh people don't care for England very much. I maybe helped my mother is Welsh as well. So I'm sort of eligible, I think, to play for any of the home nations. Strangely, I never got the call up, but I found it. We have been welcomed with open arms, which has been incredible. I think because people pretty quickly worked out that what we were there for was what they would have wanted us to be there for, which was to create a successful football team that is a feather in the cap for the community. So my Welsh is not great. I picked up about 4 or 5 phrases and that's about it. But fortunately, everyone there is very clever. And so if they speak Welsh, they speak English very well as well. So they humor me and switch to English when required. It's we couldn't have asked for a better welcome, really.
I want to ask you about subtitles, because the accent is so strong there, especially for an American that's watching the show. Were there any like hesitations as to using subtitles, or was it one of those things where, you know, we're just trying to show the culture, we should might as well just have people learn about what's going on, let's use subtitles? Or maybe there were thoughts that you said, you know, maybe we should just, you know, throw them into the deep end, throw the audience into the deep end and have them try and figure it out for themselves.
I think, to be honest with you, I wasn't really privy to those discussions about subtitling. I mean, it's something that just like, I mean, my wife puts subtitles on everything we watch on telly, even with American accents. She is from Michigan. She's just like, oh, I like having the subtitles there just for whatever reason. So I think it's funny because I know there's been much hot debate on Wrexham Twitter about who has been subtitled and who hasn't, and where they I think it's a source of pride actually to be subtitled. People are pleased they've got, you know, they are displaying a full thick Scouse Liverpool accent or North Walian accent or whatever it is. Because that's the other thing, is that lots of the people you're hearing from are. Our fans are almost all from Wales, but the team is from all over the place. I mean, they are there's Londoners and Scotsmen and Irishmen and all sorts, really.
I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about TV and streaming rights, because that's a lot of what we talk about here at World Soccer Talk. And I know Ryan Reynolds has been super vocal about the fact that he wants the opportunity to broadcast games in the US so people can follow them. But at the time, the league is saying no just because of the contracts that they have with BT Sport for domestic and international viewers. But I'm curious, do you feel that he's made any headway in that, maybe for the future in coming seasons, that fans in the United States will have better ease of access to watch Wrexham games?
Yes. So, I mean, it's something that we've been talking to the National League about since from the moment we took over. We've been trying to persuade them that, like, this is a thing, you know, and we took over during the COVID period where games were streamable. You know, no one was out in stadiums and allowances were made for teams to stream their games. And it's something that we're very keen to pursue because, you know, I moved over here to the US about 10, 12 years ago. And was blown away by how accessible all sport was on TV or on Twitter. On the highlights, are immediately available. You know, I like the Boston Red Sox. I follow the Red Sox on Twitter or their Instagram. You know, during the game, I will get a tweet like, here's a home run. Watch this little bit of this, that, the other. And in the UK, we're still very cautious about that. We're very, very protective of it. And I have to say, having grown up in that culture, I don't mind it. I kind of love listening to games on the radio. It reminds me of my childhood. It's very enjoyable. But our feeling is that just moving forward, there is just a huge opportunity, like anything, to grow the brand of the National League, to grow awareness and interest. And, you know, for us, the proposals we put forward, we were like, look, this isn't about money. We'll broadcast the games for free if you want, or if people are going to pay, we'll remit that money directly to the National League and they can disperse it around the other teams. It's not about that. We just want more people watching games. And we're getting so many messages now from people saying they want to watch the game that it just seems a shame that fans can't, you know. And that's not taking into account the many, many Wrexham fans who now live around the world, who've left Wrexham and moved to New Zealand or Australia or Abu Dhabi or wherever it may be, or Canada or the US. And they can't, you know, there's no way for them to watch the games legally. I mean, I think it's difficult to watch Wrexham games illegally because they're not really filmed or broadcast anywhere. So it's not like you can sneak on and watch the French version of the Wrexham game. Now, our hope is to get promoted this season, and we'll be into League Two, and then that changes, the rules there are different. So, you know, the National League is just disadvantaged in comparison to the rest of English football.
Yeah, I want to ask you about promotion in regards to the documentary. If Wrexham don't get promoted, then, you know, that's we all hope that they get promoted because we're all pretty much Wrexham fans now. But if Wrexham don't get promoted to League Two, how likely is it that there will not be a season three of Welcome to Wrexham?
I don't know that that's tied directly to promotion. I mean, like, again, if you watch this season of the documentary, you know, what everyone is watching right now and thankfully seems to be really enjoying is us in the National League. You know, that is that it's us going into League Two. It's vital for the football club. I don't know how vital it is for the documentary, to be completely honest. I don't know. I mean, listen, we all want, especially, as I said, I don't want to give any spoilers about how the rest of the season goes for people that haven't watched it. But, you know, our objective is we would like to end season two with a lovely party, a lovely promotion party. And that would be a nice way to end every season of the show. But you know, ultimately, it's up to the powers that be at Fox and Disney. And that is dependent on how many people are watching, really. I mean, I think that's sort of how these things go.
Humphrey, I'll wrap up with this question. In your time with Wrexham and being involved with the documentary, I'm going to ask you two things. The first one is, what have you enjoyed the most about being involved with Wrexham? And the second one is, what have you learned, maybe just in terms of profession, but maybe also learned to enjoy?
So the thing I've enjoyed the most is, no question, is the times where people come up to me in the kind of club car park or in town or in Sainsbury's in the supermarket or whatever it may be, and just sort of say thank you, because these are people that love that. I mean, the club was on the verge of dying, and it was this kind of stroke of luck that we came along when we did, because I think there was a real danger that the club would have gone semi-professional and then it just would have continued to spiral. Having that great, enormous, wonderful old stadium was a huge, is a huge bonus to us, but was kind of a huge millstone to the previous owners, who didn't have the finances to maintain it, and they were paying rent on it and all this kind of thing. And it was just slowly killing the club to a certain extent. So the best thing has been just like interacting with people in town who are so thrilled to have their football club back in a way. I mean, and they, not that they ever didn't have it, but that it now is a place of optimism and excitement, and seeing all the kids in town wearing Wrexham jerseys rather than Liverpool and Manchester City jerseys, and feeling like, oh yeah, we're on the up again. That's been really wonderful. In terms of things I've learned, it's just been so interesting crossing the kind of the velvet rope from fan to executive, because you understand that so many of the things that we as fans assume or take for granted about football clubs are actually kind of not necessarily the case. You know, the kind of humanization of the players has been fascinating. It's it's also, you know, the number of times I see, you know, we'll put out a team sheet on a Saturday and people are like, why on earth aren't they playing this guy? Like, are they out of their minds? They're idiots. Why can't they see what everyone else can see? And you're like, well, because he's injured. I know he's injured. Like, we don't announce every injury or talk about everything. Or we know that in the last game, he ran 4 kilometers more than he does normally. And so we know he's going to be gassed. So he's sitting out for a week. And I know that as a Liverpool fan over the years, I have been very susceptible to being like, this is just baffling. It's like, well, you don't have all the information. So I think one of the things that I'm learning from it is I am going to try in the future be more patient about my interactions with sort of institutions and the wider world, and not just sort of assume I know everything because I know some things.
Well, Humphrey, as a viewer, it's been a lot of fun to watch your adventure and Wrexham's adventure over the last couple of years. And like I said, we're all rooting for them to get promoted, and it is a lot of fun to watch both the soccer and the documentary itself.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yep, so welcome to Wrexham. It airs every Wednesday on FX. You can also watch that on demand. Humphrey, I want to thank you for doing this, and look forward to watching the next episode in a week's time.
Thank you for having me.